Welcome to Her Story, a project by Chick History. I'm your host, Rebecca Price. For 1 year, we asked 50 contemporary women to share the story of the historical woman who has inspired her. Join us every week for a new story of inspiration, from the headliners to the lesser-known gems.
Dust off the books, read all the letters, preserve with time. Dig out the truth written between the lines. Her hair's still brick, cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten.
Joining us today for Her Story number 11 is Janet K. Lee. Janet is a Nashville-based illustrator whose unique and playful style has made her a name in the comics industry. A breath of fresh air from the superhero genre, she's best known for her work on the Eisner Award-winning Return of the Dapper Men, winner of MTV's Best Graphic Novel Award for 2010 with writer Jim McCann from Archaea Comics. You can find her most recent work in Marvel Comic Books' best-selling adaptation of Jane Austen's masterpiece, Emma. She was also just named one of Nashville, Tennessee's most intriguing personalities in the 2012 People issue of the Nashville Scene. To learn more about Janet's work, you can visit her website, j-k-lee.com. Janet, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Well, which woman in history have you chosen to share with us today?
I'd like to talk about a group of women, if it's all right. They are known as the Red Rose Girls. The Red Rose Girls were a group of women artists who lived together and worked together during the turn of the 19th to 20th century, during a time when really women were not expected to have careers or to be able to support themselves in any way. The three women were Jessie Wilcox Smith, Elizabeth Shippen Green, and Violet Oakley. And then they had a fourth member who was not an artist, but she actually almost functioned as the wife in the relationship. Her name was Henrietta Cousins. She almost was the glue that held the group together because she was able to do all the little things that artists lose track of when they're working. The three artists met in Philadelphia. They were all proteges of Howard Pyle, who was quite a prominent artist. Some things that, you know, really amaze me about the time period are that at the time that the ladies attended these classes, women were not allowed to sketch nude statuary in mixed company. They all had to be draped. Women were not allowed to do life study drawings at all. And in fact, in 1860, the first group of women that were attending art classes actually got kind of renegade and decided that they were going to start their own classes and start doing their own life studies and posed for each other. But, you know, several instructors who tried to allow women to have models and draw them, especially models that were in any state of undress whatsoever, were kicked out of institutions they were working for. So it was kind of a difficult time to be an artist at all. And the fact that these women were able to do so is quite extraordinary. The time period where they took up illustration work was pretty extraordinary as well. The TV of the era was really illustrated periodicals. It had started around the Civil War with war correspondents. And at the time, the artist would turn in their illustrations to an engraver the artist wouldn't even be credited for the work because the engraver often would produce something that really didn't, other than major components, didn't look like the artist's work at all. So as these ladies were starting their careers in illustration, they were at a time when artists were really being valued for the first time for their contributions to the written word, and were in a position to actually get recognition for their work because their work was going to be reproduced closely. There were new techniques that were allowing them to show up. So because of that, there was a proliferation of periodical works like Collier's or the Women's Home Journal, I think. And these publications were in great need of artists, and they had a shortage of artists available, and that's how women really started being allowed to work within the field. What ended up happening with the Red Rose Girls was that Howard Pyle actually recommended Elizabeth Shippen Greene and Jessie Wilcox Smith to work on their first project together. They provided some illustrations for an adaptation of Longfellow's Evangeline, and that book sort of put the two ladies on the map and gave them their first income. At the time, all three ladies ended up renting a studio in in Philadelphia, but they pretty quickly discovered that it was not, they really wanted something much larger and something maybe a little more bucolic. At the time, they were also, while they were still living in Philadelphia, they were founding members of one of the very first female illustration societies called the Plastic Club. Illustration societies at the time wouldn't let women join, and they just didn't have access to the kind of camaraderie that they would otherwise have had. Virginia Woolf kind of famously in 1929, I think, said that women would be able to be the equal of men, would be able to achieve eminence if they were given equal education, financial independence, and privacy. And the Red Rose Girls were really sort of the first example of this. After they had been working for some time in Philadelphia and had income coming in, Elizabeth Shippen Greene and Jessie Wilcox were doing regular illustration work for periodicals like Collier's, like Harper's. And Violet Oakley, who was a little bit the odd woman out, was working as a muralist. She had gotten her first commission work to do a series of very large panels for the Philadelphia State Capitol building, the Pennsylvania State Capitol building, and had gotten a huge amount of money for it at the time. I think she was given like $20,000 at the time to do this initial project. It was supposed to take 3 years. So the three ladies traveled outside of Philadelphia and found an inn that was for sale called the Red Rose Inn, and really wanted to buy it. But the $200,000 price tag for this, I think, like, it was like a 20-room inn with extensive grounds, was beyond their means. And eventually the inn was purchased by another investor who agreed ultimately to rent the area to them. And they lived there for, I think, about 10 happy years before eventually being asked to move out. But it was this relationship that they had where they shared studio space, where they collaborated with each other, where they had the interaction of peers and other artists within their field, and yet had Henrietta, who came with them and was there to do all the menial tasks. She was the wife. Howard Pyle actually never thought that women could be as preeminent as men simply because they didn't have wives to take care of them like the male artists did. And Henrietta filled that role for the Red Rose Girls. They ended up being able to support their families. Their parents, their aging parents, came to live with them, and able to really make a very good living on their own, all the while working as some of the most successful illustrators of their day, which was absolutely unheard of at the time.
Well, what is it about the Red Rose Girls that inspires you or that you identify with?
Being an illustrator, it can be an incredibly lonely business simply because you end up sort of stuck in your own head, stuck in your own studio for hours at a time. The fact that they found a way to not only support themselves in a career during a time period when women absolutely were not supposed to have careers beyond being housewives, and the fact that they found a way to do it so brilliantly, where they were talking to each other, spending time with each other, collaborating with each other, is incredibly inspiring. Beyond that, honestly, one of the first illustrations I remember as a child was a book called The Child's Garden of Verses. And that was illustrated by Jesse Wilcox Smith. Believe it or not, a lot of the illustration works that once I started studying them, I realized so many of these illustrations that I've absolutely been in love with all of my life was theirs. And they were just incredible, incredible, heroic women during a time when that just wasn't done.
Is it fair to say that their style influenced your style?
I think absolutely. I mean, I would like to think that what I produce has at least a little tinge of Art Nouveau in it. And they certainly were absolute icons of Art Nouveau style. Additionally, you know, I think I've always been incredibly inspired by children's illustrations. And I even bring it into the graphic novel work that I do. So it's really hard to quantify how much that seeing those things growing up really informed the work that I produce now.
Well, let's go ahead and wrap this up with a book recommendation for listeners so that they can start learning more about these women.
I would highly recommend that they look up The Red Rose Girls, An Uncommon Story of Art and Love by Alice A. Carter. It's available from Abrams Publishing, and it's just chock full of absolutely beautiful pictures of their artwork, as well as a good story.
Well, there you have it for The Red Rose Girls. Janet, thank you so much for sharing their story with us.
Thank you.
To learn more about her story and other projects by Chick History, you can visit the website chickhistory.com. And please join us every week for another story of an inspirational woman in history.
I'm here to tell a story, something precious and fine, about a woman who made a difference with her life. She might not be known, but to only a few, her story remembered here is gonna change that view. Her history cannot be left behind. She shall not be forgotten. Her story not forgotten.